Falcon, Challenger. We'll both be off the air briefly here as we swing into getting our suits and LCGs off. The commander presently has his suit off, and I'll start on mine.
Roger, Jack.
This is Apollo Control. It now appears that the crew aboard Challenger on the lunar surface, Jack Schmidt and Gene Cernan, will be ready to begin the EVA debriefing in about 20 minutes. We're estimating that they'll reach that point in the flight plan at about 126 hours, 10 minutes. And the debriefing will run 15 to 20 minutes. Ron Evans aboard America has been asleep now for about an hour and a half. We'll be waking him up at the ground elapsed time of 131 hours, 20 minutes after about 8 hours of rest. America is presently in an orbit 69.9 by 53.5 nautical miles on the backside of the moon in its 19th revolution, just about to cross over to the 20th revolution, the beginning of the 20th revolution, and we'll be reacquiring contact with that spacecraft in about 30 minutes.
Joe, are you there?
Waiting patiently.
Okay, if you're keeping score, we're on a bottom of 3-4. We're both out of our suits. And does that feel good?
Roger, Gene. Thank you.
Okay, I'm out of my LCG if you want to turn the page.
Okay, Gino, and how are your hands doing?
Oh, they're a little tired on both sides here.
Can't imagine.
But I think they'll pull through. Do I read this that the LNP sleeps on bio tonight? Is that right?
Stand by. Rod, that's affirmed.
Okay, so I can take mine off. All my sensors.
That's affirmed, Gene.
Well, we'll be up to the EVA debriefing time here very shortly.
Roger.
Joe, do you know how much time has elapsed since we initially charged our Plissons with O2?
Gino, it's time to charge them again if you want to.
Okay, I might just pick that up.
Alrighty.
We'll let you know where we are, though.
Okay.
Hey, Joe, I guess the home front was probably listening in. Anyone talk to him?
Haven't talked to him today, Gino. I haven't, at least.
Hello, boss. How are you doing down there?
Just fine. Waiting for you guys to go to sleep so we can do the same. Had a great day up there, guys.
Oh, you don't have to wait for that. I was super from here. It's quite an experience, Deke, and quite a challenge.
Yeah, it looked beautiful from here.
Tell you, it makes you feel feel like you had a good day's work behind you, though.
Yeah, I can believe that.
We're about to give you the rest of the day off, Gene.
Thank you, Joe.
Gino, while you trip.
Hey, it's 3 o'clock and open.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe. I was just going to say, it's 3 o'clock in the morning back there.
We know it.
3 o'clock in the morning up there, too.
Yeah, and we know that, too.
Bruce, while you're in a listening mood up there, we're going to be coming at you with a number of items here, not too many. But the first will be some surface block data. Then we're going to read up to you a leva cleaning procedure, which is fairly simple. A real short geology. Bruce, while you're in a listening mood up there, we're going to be coming at you with a number of items here, not too many. But the first will be some surface block data. Then we're going to read up to you a leva cleaning procedure, which is fairly simple. A real short geology debrief, one line change in the lunar surface checklist. And then we've been doing some thinking down here about how to fix the fender. And it's going to involve, we think, although we'll work on it while you guys are getting some rest, it's going to involve using utility clamps from inside your limb there instead of tape to fasten some sort of stiff material onto the rover in place of the missing fender. And we'll go either with one of your cue cards or possibly with part of insulation that was the flame blanket protecting the rover during the landing, or perhaps part of the packing material that was between the rover wheels and is probably lying on the ground underneath the limb there.
Joe, you couldn't be reading our mind more. We were talking about that. There's a piece of it right outside my window. I saw it after we got in here. Either that or back of part of a data book or something. I hate like to be able to tear one of those other fenders off. And the reason tape won't stick is that everything's got a fine coating of dust, and the only way I could finally get it to stick was to put tape on it, rip the tape off, or take the tape off, which took some of the dust off, and then tape would tend to hold it. But it just won't hang it up here.
Roger, Gene. That's exactly what we're thinking. And what we're going to do is run through the fix in a pressure suit a few hours from now, and if it looks like we can do it and it won't cost you many more than say 10 minutes, we're going to have you go through with it. If it takes longer than that, we're going to go back to the drawing board and see what else we can do here.
Well, you know, John and Charlie could tell you just how bad it is. I wouldn't have believed it. I guess I didn't believe it. Or I would have worked a little harder to make sure that fender was going to stay on. But, just that short trip back from where we lost it, and we were just covered. I couldn't even read the parts of the panel on the rover, plus all the battery covers and everything.
Roger, Gene. What we really need, I think, is some white mud flaps up there.
It's a little too old-fashioned, Joe.
I guess we'd know, wouldn't we?
I'm afraid so. Okay, Joe, Mark, I'm giving my twist a second charge right now.
We're watching.
You should be getting LMP Biomed.
Yeah, Joe, give me a hack after about 10 minutes in case I forget on it. Let's recharge.
Roger.
Good Can I do both the, I can do both the water recharge and the O2 recharge same time, can I?
That's affirmed.
Okay.
But Gene, I caution not to tilt the bliss while you're doing that.
Yeah, good idea. Mine's in the station.
And Gene, if you want to get the geology debrief out of the way anytime, just give us a whistle on that.
Joe, why don't you give me the block data, and then we go to that geology brief.
Okay, are you ready to copy?
Go ahead.
Okay, Jack, surface block data, liftoff times, T21, 128, plus 47, plus 12, T22, 130, plus 45, plus 44, T23, 132, plus 44, plus 18, T24, 134, plus 42, plus 50, T25, 136, plus 41, plus 28. Over.
Okay, Joey, 21, reading in order, 128, 4712, 130, 4544, 132, 4418, 134, 4250, 136, 4128. And what's the present rev?
Present rev is 20, and readback's correct.
Okay, Joe, you go ahead and fire away at the LFP.
Okay, Jack, and for the geology questions, I'm going to turn the console over to the well-known geologist of the Seyfert Galaxies.
Dan Hackett, huh? You all forgotten everything I taught you.
I dropped my sword.
Okay, guys, you want me to address first those to Gene, those to Jack, and then address them to Gene later on, or you guys both want to answer them at the same time?
Well, we're both listening. We can answer them.
Okay, the way you asked that, I wasn't sure. Okay, question number one is concerns the rover mobility rates. The rover mobility rates over the short span you drove, which is hardly representative, are slower than people had anticipated. Do you think this was due to visibility, terrain, or what? Do you think you can still hack a 7.3 or 8 kilometer minimum or average to station 2 tomorrow?
The answer to that is yes, Bob. I think it's partly FAM, but it's also the fact that we did a lot of circling. We didn't drive in many straight lines, trying to find, for the most part, our bearings and try to pick some high spots so we could look around. So I think straight line navigation out in the area we're going is going to be easily 8 kilometers.
Okay, great. Okay, another question here, Gene, which you should be able to answer with a simple yes or no. Was there any spillage of the material in the drill core while you were breaking it down?
Simple no.
Okay.
Spillage out of it?
Yeah, you know, when you broke the sections, did you lose much material out of it?
No, sir, I didn't lose any.
Okay, next simple question. When you were drilling the deep core where the neutron probe was, could you see the RTG over the rock?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any feel for how high the rock is or how low, how deep the thing was with respect to the RTG? Were you down in a level that was below even without the oxygen in there?
Yeah, I was in a slump. There was a ridge between us and the RTG, and I had the rock in a line of sight between it and where I put that core. And I'd say the rock was certainly near the ridge, and it was, was a meter high for the most part. And it sloped off, and I'd say at least a half a meter high in the line of sight from where the neutron probe is to the RTG.
Okay.
Plus, there's a lot of undulations. I think it'd be below line of sight anyway.
Okay, and a somewhat more general question here. It says, and I'll read it, we're still puzzled as to whether there is a dark mantle. Could you say something more about the dark regolith surface? There's a lot of discussion today about whether or not it could have been a regolith derived from the intermediate gabbro, which you were sampling as boulders.
Bob, I think I don't have too much to add to what I said near the end of the EVA, is that I do not have an intuitive feeling that the regolith has been derived from most of the boulders that we're seeing. But because those boulders are fairly light colored, they look like they're probably 50% plagioclase. It could be that the regolith is derived from some other material that has blanketed the area. I don't think we have that answer yet.
Okay, I copy that.
Bob, the boulders we were sampling, I think Jack and I both feel that it's probably we feel we sampled a subfloor because we saw on the sides of craters where some of these boulders were exposed almost as if they were bedrock down there. And driving back from what we call Station 1, we could definitely see the light mantle out in the area where the potentials of the slide are.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I think that at least it's going better around here that we're sampling the subfloor when we're sampling, or at least the top of the subfloor when we're sampling the intermediate gabbro there, the rocks and the boulders. Okay, we also...
Yeah, the...
Go ahead.
Bob?
Go.
It is sort of strange that we don't see a good population of finer grained rocks. These rocks look very much like igneous rocks, but they're considerably coarser than comparable, they're about the grain size of some of the coarse grained Mare basalt that tend to differentiate the cristobalite and tritomite, but we didn't see any of the finer grain versions. If it's an intermediate crystalline rock, we have not seen any fine grain equivalents yet, at least not in abundance.
Okay, I copy that. We gather that there's no color change in the dark mantle material at depth. In other words, the footprints, wheel tracks, and the rake sample, etc., were sort of uniform in color.
Major change, but looking out the window, and I think I commented on it, the disturbed regolith is darker. I don't know, maybe by 10% albedo, something like that, than the undisturbed surface.
Okay, I'll be commenting on that while you're walking to the altip, I think, Jack, in fact. Okay, during drilling of the heat flow holes, Gene was...
That's right.
Was there a change in color of the cuttings as they piled up as you went down in depth? Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, Bob, both in the core and the heat flow holes, it really didn't seem to pile it up like you're accustomed to at the Cape, and I guess maybe that's because I was... So kicking so much dust around there, but I looked specifically when I cleared flutes and what have you, and I didn't see any different In terms of color or texture, anything else coming up?
Okay, copy that. On the outcrops you think you see in the north and south Mesquite, they appear to be linear horizontal or subhorizontal. Can you see layers, and do you have any feel for the thickness or the attitude or the continuity of them? Can you discuss these outcrops?